Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in John Glennon from SI.com. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys this morning?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, John, we talked earlier in the show about Treylon Burks. He's been turning heads pretty consistently for about a week now at Titans camp. How big a deal is it? You know, I don't want to overreact 1 week into camp, but what have been your thoughts on what Treylon Burks has been able to accomplish thus far?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, we got to give him credit. Certainly, you know, I think a lot of questions were rightfully asked about Treylon Burks, you know, a first-round draft pick who was having a hard time even getting on the field during, you know, mini camp, or rookie mini camp and mini camp and OTAs and so forth. I think it's only natural that there were some concerns, you know, from people who are watching this. Now, on the other hand, you know, what I had always been saying was that the story until it's not a story. Well, that's not the story right now. We're seeing why Treylon Burks was a first-round draft pick. Some of the catches that he has been making the last couple of days, I thought one in particular that really stood out yesterday in a red zone drill, you know, very well covered. You know, he got a favorable matchup with Zach Cunningham. But Zach Cunningham had him very well covered. Cunningham had his back to Ryan Tannehill. So Ryan Tannehill just kind of looked at Burks and seemed to kind of say, I'm going to give you a chance. Threw it back shoulder to him. Burks kind of goes up in the air, twisting, back shoulder catch. Really nice move. And that, to me, you know, that was a pretty good illustration of just how far Treylon Burks has come in a relatively short amount of time. So I think it's a fairly significant deal what we're seeing so far.
So, rookie of the year, then? Is this what you're saying? Are you making that call right now?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But I'm just saying, you know, from what we saw, you know, it would have been different if he just came out and had a decent off season. You know, we wouldn't maybe be saying the same things necessarily because we wouldn't have seen the same change. But, you know, the amount of this transformation is what's really eye-opening to me.
On another rookie, and I missed all of you especially, John, but I was with the Vols yesterday, not the Titans. I'm sure you guys were all lamenting my absence, but sounds like Roger McCreary was really good yesterday. I feel like he's been good. You know, you have your ups and downs, and you're already designed to lose in one-on-ones, right, if you're a DB. But I've been impressed with him, but it sounds like he was really good yesterday. My question for you is, do you think that he – could push either Farley or Molden for a starting job on this team? And, of course, Molden has been banged up.
I don't think that's too much of a stretch to at least ask that question. You know, Roger McCreary didn't play a lot of slot when he was at Auburn, but I think both Roger and the Titans feel he has the skills to play that position if necessary. You know, he's got quickness. You know, he's got some excellent, you know, feet and so forth. So I think that is a possibility that kind of adds to his versatility there. So if I'm Elijah Molden, I'm thinking maybe this injury better not keep me down for too long out there. But I also think, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he pushes Farley as well. You know, certainly Farley has impressed in terms of how well he's recovered in health. And you know, the natural skills are evident in some of Farley's play as well. But we got to remember this whole time that Farley just hasn't played a ton the last couple of years. You know, 60 snaps over two seasons, whereas the last 2 years, McCreary has been knocking away passes left and right in the SEC. So, you know, yeah, as you said, Joe, you did miss quite a show by Roger McCreary yesterday. You know how quick those little sessions are, you know, 7-on-7 drills or so forth. Maybe they're 5 minutes or you know, 10 minutes most. In one of those sessions, Roger McCreary knocked away three passes. And I think, you know, over the course of the practice, there were at least five or six passes that he got his hands on. So pretty impressive day for Roger McCreary. Maybe even more so when you consider the size of these receivers he's going up against. You know, not only Treylon Burks, but NWI, Des Fitzpatrick, you know, Racy McMath, etc. He's really showing that those short arms aren't much of a handicap.
John Glennon from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, I know the pads have just come on, but has there been anything that's really stuck out to you one way or the other so far on the offensive line, particularly at left guard and right tackle on those two positions that we've talked so much about this offseason?
Yeah, you know, one day of pads, and I think, you know, probably fortunately from the Titans' sake, I didn't think, there were any of those plays where you saw, an edge rusher screaming towards Ryan Tannehill or Jeffrey Simmons crashing through the line and about to bury Tannehill if it wasn't a non-contact situation. Now, I'm sure, you know, when coaches go back and look over the tape, they'll see much more than all of us did live. But, you know, overall impressions, I certainly thought the defense had the better of the day. You know, they started off with a lot of running plays early on. I didn't see a whole lot of running room for the backs. I thought some guys did a good job of getting penetration. Simmons did, obviously. And I thought Tier Tart had a pretty good showing for himself. But generally, the offense was not as efficient as we had seen, you know, maybe in the first 4 days or so. Tannehill's completion, you know, percentage was not as good. There were a couple of mistakes in lineups and so forth. Was that all necessarily related to pads? You know, I don't know if you can say that's a direct correlation, but I do know that, you know, more so than in the run game for Raidens and Brewer, I think it's going to be about pass protection, how they hold up, and we might get some idea certainly in training camp and with the practices against the other NFL teams, but I think in the run game they're at least solid. You know, Brewer's a good athlete; he can move, he's lightweight, and that's Raidens has always, you know, been stronger in the run than in the pass. So I think the real question is whether these guys can stand up in pass pro.
Yeah, and then also my question is just, did the backups challenge them? I mean, are they progressing? I mean, I feel like obviously you got a rookie in Petit Frere, so you got to, you know, expect that there's going to be some learning curve, things like that. But you want that to be, I guess, you want those to be competitions, I would think, right? I guess for the right reasons, because they're both elevating each other rather than you just can't figure out anyone who's good enough to start. But I'm also wondering if Jamarco Jones is going to be one of those pickups that just isn't what the Titans thought when they signed him.
Yeah, you kind of wondered at the time when they signed him, you know, is this a guy that they're expecting to contend for a starting spot, or is he one of those more kind of guys that are kind of expected to be a valuable reserve type player? So it's a tough call. I think certainly, you know, I feel like Brewer and Raidens are at least penciled in at those starting spots. And, you know, I think everything we read in terms of scouting reports, at least on Petit Frere, was that this is a guy, a lot of skills, a lot of potential, a lot of athleticism, but maybe would need, you know, a little bit of a year of seasoning before he kind of stepped into that starting lineup. So my guess would be that is sort of the timetable for Petit Frere. To me, you know, I still think there's a little bit of a question mark, you know, in terms of potential free agents that might get added down the line. Again, we've got to give Brewer and Raidens and Jamarco and Petit Frere, you know, at least a couple weeks here in pad before I think the Titans will make any decisions. But, you know, if they determine at that point, you know, maybe we need to bolster one of these spots or who knows, even bolster both of those spots. You know, I think there's some guys out there now, and I think more guys generally become available, you know, as camp goes on via waivers and so forth.
John, last thing for you here. What's your read on Malik Willis so far and exactly where he is in your mind?
Yeah, ups and downs for Malik Willis, I would say, which is probably expected. I didn't think he had the greatest of a Saturday. You know, he had a set of reps in one drill where about three passes in a row were not what he liked. And then he threw a pick yesterday, which was not necessarily entirely his fault. He had a receiver slip on him. Looked like the pass might have been a little bit late coming out, but can't pin it entirely on him. On the other hand, you sometimes see the touch that Malik Willis has, especially when he's kind of throwing sort of those deep balls down the sideline. And he yesterday he had a nice one in the red zone. He kind of lofted a pass, let Reggie Roberson run right underneath it after he beat Greg Maven. He said, "Oh yeah, I see that touch. I see that skill." But I think that the biggest issue to me in Malik Willis is just the hesitation that we see, and Mike Vrabel has talked about it in terms of timing. You know, there are times where Malik Willis seems to have a receiver or two open, but just isn't willing to pull that trigger right away, and that's something that he's going to have to learn to do. You know, I guess on the plus side, maybe you prefer the guy is being more cautious now than you know, if he's afraid of an interception or committing a turnover, maybe you prefer the fact that he errs on the side of caution. But at some point, he's going to have to be able to get rid of that ball quickly, you know, improve that timing situation. And again, good news here is that it's basically going to be a redshirt year for Malik Willis, most likely. You know, he's not the first-round pick. There are not huge expectations for him to start an opening day. So it's okay if he's allowed to progress a little slower than he might have if he was, you know, the 18th pick overall in the draft.
John Glennon from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. John Glennon, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get Joe's thoughts on Malik Willis coming up next as well. And what would we consider to be a success for this Titans team this season? Kind of ties into our discussion from yesterday. We'll get more of your thoughts on that next. 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? You know, for 30 years, we've had pills, needles, injections, and surgery to treat ED, you know, all with varying levels of success, but all come with side effects and downtime. Now we have a technology, not a pill, called acoustic wave therapy, and it's changing the way we're looking at treating ED. It's a little machine. It sits right on the skin. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand, oftentimes repair themselves. So unlike those traditional methods, you could be seeing an end date to your ED.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this acoustic wave therapy technology?
Well, if you check out our site at hillsidemedicalclinic.com, you'll find 60 independent placebo-controlled clinical studies. Cambridge and the Cleveland Clinic have looked at this, calling it safe and effective. More are coming in every day. Some are even calling it the new standard of care for treatment of ED.
And you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
As always, give us a call right now, 615-576-5000. You'll receive the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound all for free, plus the additional gift that provides powerful results in the bedroom. That's coming at no charge to you. All you got to do is give us a call.
That's right, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm sorry, I just can't focus right now. Davis Mills is on Good Morning Football, and that neck is something else, man. I can't focus.
He just leaned back in his chair. Like, it really is. Like, he's one of the wonders of the world.
He's Inspector Gadget out there, man. It's unbelievable. Oh, God, I love Davis Mills so much.
Has he never squatted ever?
I don't know.
Do some squats.
My favorite quarterback of all time, Davis Mills of the Houston Texans.
Good stuff. What a neck.
Really going above and beyond right now, getting on national TV this early in the morning. Good for you, Davis Mills. Oh, man. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have Stephen Holder from ESPN coming up at 9 o'clock. Joe, real quickly, I want to get your thoughts on Malik Willis. What have you seen from him thus far? And I guess, are you surprised at anything you've seen with him? Is it about in line of where you thought he would be? What's kind of your view on Malik Willis and how you think the Titans view him at this moment?
Yeah, I don't think it's too far out of line of what I figured. It's just a matter of you could tell that they were working on footwork and delivery and just a lot of those little, little mechanical things with him in the spring. So I guess my question was, are you going to see, a significant uptick in consistency? And so far, no. Like Glennon said, he'll make throws that are he makes the most wow throws of anyone. And you can go back and watch his college film and find the same thing. But obviously you have to be able to hit those. You got to be able to basically make those layups every time, And here and there, it's just the ball just kind of goes errant on him. But then also the other stuff to me is very much what you would expect from a rookie quarterback in this league. It's you're dropping back and you're not making a quick decision. You're not seeing what you need to see right now. You're not getting rid of the ball. You're patting the ball. Then you're taking off with the ball. I mean, this is rookie quarterback in the NFL stuff. But I think the bigger thing with him is just can he mechanically get to the point where the shorter stuff is right where it needs to be on time all the time. You got to get to that point to be an NFL quarterback. And it's a long process. I think that it's really going to be interesting watch him in game situations because obviously in practice, running the ball as a quarterback, really, it's just the whistle blows. It's like, right. Okay, I mean, the quarterbacks are going to get hit anyway. So one of his best attributes really hasn't been able to be on display. What's it look like in an actual football game? That's something that could kind of improve his prospects. But I wouldn't say it's too far outside of what you would expect. I will say that when you're comparing quarterbacks, I probably feel a little bit less confident. And I already picked Logan Woodside to win the two, but I would say I guess I feel more confident in that pick now. I have a hard time seeing Malik Willis leapfrog him. He's going to have to really make a run here for that to be possible.
Well, and Rabel was highly complimentary of Logan Woodside last week, and he brought up the studying part of it, which we know Vrabel values. First thing he brought up, it's pretty clear that they're big fans of Logan Woodside out there. So, John, I want to tie this to the discussion we had yesterday, which was basically are the Titans still a Super Bowl contender? Do you consider the Titans still in the thick of things in the AFC? And I kind of want to transition that discussion to. All right, with everything we said yesterday, we had different thoughts from fans. Some say yes, they're still a Super Bowl contender. Some say no. Some say it all comes down to the quarterback, the schedule, all these different things. So with all that in mind, as we start to look, and I'm not asking for an official prediction or anything right now, but what would you consider to be a success for this Titans team? How do you gauge what success or failure looks like for this Titans team this year? I put this up at thegamenational.com yesterday. I talked yesterday about the sports books, not expecting a ton from the Titans. The Titans on FanDuel Sportsbook are plus 3,000 to win the Super Bowl, which is tied with the Eagles for 14th best odds in the league. So 13 teams ahead of them. They're right there kind of in the middle of the league in terms of FanDuel. They have the ninth best odds to win the AFC at plus 1,500. So ninth best in the AFC.
Those aren't bad.
Maybe worth taking a look at. But with all that in mind, what would you consider to be a successful year? How do you define that for the Titans this year?
I would say if the Titans win the AFC South and they win at least one playoff game, then it's a successful year. If they don't win the AFC South, they get in the playoffs and they win at least one playoff game. Yeah, it's a successful year, too. I mean, it's a disappointing regular season, but one playoff win. And I know that maybe Titans fans right now would be like, that's not enough. But I think that that's a fair classification of a success for this team. Anything short of that is a disappointment. So that's pretty simple to me. Win a playoff game. And, is that a – if it was last year, that means
you're in the AFC Championship
game. And it's interesting because let's say the Titans hadn't just completely, blown up the porta potty and, had a
nice quick audible from you there. That was very good.
And, had gotten to the AFC title game, but then they lost to the Chiefs at home. would we be calling last year a success? It would certainly feel less like a completely blown opportunity, right?
Right.
But well, would it be a success?
Yeah, you know, we'd be asking the question, can you get over the hump? But, you know, we probably wouldn't be having the same discussions we're having about Ryan Tannehill right now. Like, it would be – I think it would be pretty different if they win that game.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, they haven't won a playoff game, obviously. They've lost their – at home twice to open the playoffs the last 2 years. So, that is a success. It's not satisfying. But there's different grades of success. There's one. I mean, if you're really going to strictly define it, one team will have a successful season. For the Titans, where they are, and look, based on what I'm seeing around, not just the odds makers, I just read a Sporting News. They just did their power rankings. It just came out, I think, today or maybe yesterday, and Titans came coming in at a solid 17th.
Yeah.
With the analysis of it, looks like the wheels are falling off in Tennessee. I mean, I feel like this is kind of a popular. I think the Titans are going to be – I'll be really interested to see, like, our poll at The Athletic and how they're voted. I bet you they are not picked to be in the playoffs. I think a lot of people are just discarding them, which is crazy to me for, like, a one seed.
Yeah.
A one seed that did all it did with using the most players ever, but still it's like – but I think some of that is Tannehill, of course. Some of it is Derrick Henry, too. I just think people in general are like, gosh, Derrick Henry, he's old. He's
some
running
of
back.
It's A.J. Brown. Yeah.
Well, sure. So they do have – psychologically, this is a great situation for them compared to last year. Last year, all – so the expectations were sky high. The offense is going to be generational. And this year it's back to Vrabel can point out to all his players how disrespected they are.
So we throw
and
that.
He will.
Oh, there's no question about that. So we throw that out to you. What would you consider to be a success for the Titans this season? Hit up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, fantasy football right around the corner, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, you can relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers or order for the whole team with a peak sampler full of fan favorites or indulge in shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. Once again, that's 615-221-0869. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away to see 3ICE, North America's premier 3-on-3 ice hockey league, which will be at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, this Saturday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 5. We'll win a pair of tickets to three ice coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. So a little hockey in the summertime. Looking forward to that coming up this Saturday. So, Joe, I threw this question out there, and I'm interested to see what listeners say about this and where they go with it. How would you define a successful season for the Titans this year? What does success for the Titans look like this year? Matt on the text line says, Super Bowl or bust? So more than likely a bust this year for the Titans. I am interested to hear what people say. Adam in Portland says, you beat Philly on December 4th. Hold always. Jabbering Brown to – oh, I get what he did there. Always jabbering. AJ Brown to 24 yards on two catches. Win playoff games too, but for the regular season, that one is circled. So Adam paying very close attention to the Philadelphia game coming up. I mean, always jabbering Brown. I kind of like that.
I got to say, man. I continue to be just blown away by how A.J. Brown is public enemy number one.
I kind of like that.
I mean, he's definitely the Twitter activity is a little bit, but all of a sudden he's become he was an absolute cancer in the locker room.
I do wish he would stop tweeting. My God, man. Move on.
Well, tweeting and deleting. Is that tweet still up?
I think it's still up.
Okay. That's progress.
I think it's still up.
That's progress. Hey, he's mad. That tweet, I have no problem with that last tweet. Now, some of his other tweets that are cryptic and weird and petty and the fan and the camp, all that stuff, nah. This was just him pissed at John Robinson. I'm fine with that.
Okay, but
say
he got
what
paid.
You think. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, at least I can follow along with the tweet and, like, okay, he's mad.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? He got paid. He was going to get paid here. He was going to get paid. So he wanted to be here. I mean, he needs to move on. I get it. I agree with people that he needs to move on. But it also shows you that he wanted to be here. Does it not?
I mean, maybe. There's all this reporting out there that he wanted to play with Jalen Hurts. So, like, look, I think he liked it here. Do I think that he was, like, unwavering in his desire to be a Titan? No, I don't. Otherwise, he'd still be a Titan. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting. It's just interesting that, a fan is like, that is the game. Circle that one to beat AJ. It's like, well,
yeah, like
he got traded by your team.
Yeah, I don't know how many Titans fans share that view, but I will, like, I can tell you, I mean, that's what we'll be talking about that week.
Oh, there's no doubt.
AJ Brown, can they shut him down? And there is a certain segment of the Titans fan base that he is now public enemy number one.
Yeah, and I think it's a little, I don't know, man. I don't see all the reasons for that, but hey, you do you, I guess.
David from Ashland City texting in says, winning a playoff game is a minimum. Successful team would be to have at least, or would be to at least go to the Super Bowl. David from Ashland City on the text line. So here's how I would answer this. I think winning the AFC South I would constitute as a successful season, and, you know, winning a playoff game, I guess, but some of that, honestly, for me, depends on who the matchup is. Like, I think if they win the AFC South this year, they're not going to be the one seed. Like, I feel pretty strongly the Titans are not going to be the one seed this year.
But they'll have a home game.
So you'll have a home game. So what does that matchup look like? Is it a wild card team? Are you the four and you're taking on the five? And it's Justin Herbert and the Chargers who finished with a better record than you did, but are in the AFC West. Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of that to me is
– you got to win that game.
It's matchup-based to me, but I think winning the AFC South is a successful season. And then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Like, there's so much that – and I think I've been guilty of this. I think a lot of people are guilty of it as well. I agree with you. Like, I think around the league, there's going to be a lot of people that pick the Titans to miss the playoffs. I think that's absolutely going to happen. I think here locally, most people expect the Titans to make the playoffs. And the question is – like, a lot of people are already fast-forwarding to January of, okay, what is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to do in the playoffs? And I get that. Like, I've kind of subscribed to that theory as well. But I think winning the AFC South is a successful season, and then we'll see what the matchup looks like in the playoffs. But I just – from what – I can't shake the Cincinnati game from this standpoint. It has affected the way I view my expectations for this team. Like, I just – I feel like they missed their chance last year, and I don't consider the Titans to be a Super Bowl threat this year. I just don't. I think they have a good defense. We'll see, but there's a lot of questions to answer on offense. But I just think the AFC has gotten so much better that last year was their chance, and they blew it. And I just think some of these younger quarterbacks are about to take this conference by storm.
Yeah. Well, you may be right. Again, it's – you don't have to beat them all, you know.
I know.
You got to – whatever your path is.
Although
you kind of
do on the
regular
season
schedule. Well, on the way. That's true. On the way there. Yeah. Tannehill's got to get them there first.
Yeah.
But Alex from Montreal says, how about a playoff game we don't lose by our mistakes? Yeah, but would – so if you play a really good team in the playoffs, let's say it's the scenario you put out there. Justin Herbert comes in here and he's just incredible. It's a great game. You lose a close game and you played a clean game. You feeling good about that?
No, you're not, because the talking point, regardless of how Tannehill plays in that game, is going to be the same. Well, let's say he's good in that game. He's not great, but he's good. He doesn't turn the ball over, and they just get out-dueled by a Herbert or a Burrow or somebody of that ilk. then the conversation is going to go right back to, okay, well, Tannehill's, he's okay. He's good, but he's not good enough to beat guys like that. And what do you do about that if you're the Titans? Like, the conversation to me, how we're going to end up viewing this team is so much going to come down to that at the end of the year. So that's part of why I threw this question out there, because successful to me to this team is a really difficult thing to define, because so much of it boils down to him and the quarterback position and what that future looks like.
Yeah, it's like how you lose or win, but even if you ultimately lose, you know, how do you lose? Like, if you have a season that, let's say you lose that close game, but he's great. You know, he throws for 320 and three touchdowns, but Justin Herbert does just one-ups him and has a game-winning drive at the end. And, you know, your defense gets shredded by a great quarterback. And that's a capper of actually a really big bounce-back season for Tannehill. He demonstrates that he can perform in that situation, just doesn't win. He's off the field. He's on the sideline watching at the end. It's not on him.
Yeah.
Is there more success in that, because now you at least feel like you're happier to have him as your quarterback in 2023?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, part of this is also it's this window, and that's what makes the offseason kind of confusing. And we got a texter that brought this up. Says, I think the A.J. Brown trade is proof that Robinson has come to the realization that he can't win a Super Bowl with Tannehill. It signals a move to focusing on the next phase. The trade makes little sense if you think you have a shot. I don't know if I totally buy that whole text of, like, Robinson has just abandoned hope of winning a Super Bowl with Tannehill. But we do talk about the window with Derrick Henry. You've got the defense, I think, on paper built up to a point where it should be a strength of your team. Like, Derrick Henry's not getting any younger. I mean, some people think he's already about to fall off the table this year. Regardless, it's coming at some point for Derrick Henry where he's not going to be the same running back. Like, the window that we discussed yesterday, like, there's still a lot of reason, I think, if you're John Robinson, to believe that you're still in it right now.
Yeah, I disagree with that text in terms of this. It's a absolute demonstration that Robinson's like, okay, think of the future. I mean, you have to, as a GM, you have to always keep both things in mind. What's this year's team look like? And then, you know, down the road, what it means. But he went out and he signed, you know, they went out and they got Robert Woods. They went out and signed Austin Hooper. You know, they brought in a replacement in the draft for A.J. Brown. You're built around Derrick Henry. I mean, you're not thinking of the future. Plus, you have a defense that right now is absolutely a win now,
yep,
primed and ready to rock defense. So I think the trade is more that he just thought it wasn't going to be workable with A.J. Brown. Again, you can disagree or agree with him on that, but I think it's more that than it's like, okay, we're moving on to the next phase. Let's just think down the road. I mean, I don't think they're treading water this year. You know, I think they think they can win this year, and they're good enough, I think, certainly to win. It's just a question of your point on the Super Bowl.
We'll continue the conversation. More of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What would you define as a successful season for the Titans this year? 615-737-1025. We're in the final countdown to the fall sports season, and before everyone hunkers down in their man caves, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity, a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, August 16th. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game, all week next week for your chance to win, presented by Blend Bar. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Stephen Holder from ESPN coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL. We'll focus in on the Indianapolis Colts as well. How'd the Colts look so far at training camp? Matt Ryan apparently doing everything but walking on water out there in Indianapolis. So
the new GOAT.
Good stuff up there. Looking forward to that with Stephen a little bit later in the show. Right now, throwing the question out there, how would you define what a successful season looks like for the Tennessee Titans? Got a lot to get to on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan on our text line, which I believe is our resident Colts fan. I'll give the Titans a chance at the division if the Colts have a poor start to the season. But we should not have an issue with that this year. Lots of division games the first eight games. Love how the Jordan's like, yeah, I'll give the Titans a slight chance. They won the division the last 2 years, but I'll give them a little bit of chance.
A slim, slim
if
chance.
If the Colts start off poorly, I suppose. I mean, that is the intriguing part of this, is, and I hate that the NFL's done this, but you are playing the Colts twice, you know, before November comes.
Yeah.
Which I think is really stupid.
I wish they'd get over that.
I wish they'd get over that too. But I mean, you win those two games, you're sitting pretty if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to recognize when, you know, this, I know that there's all kinds of factors that go into scheduling. It's very, you know, difficult, a lot of moving parts, but you'd think that there'd be, you look around other divisions, you know, it's clear that they try to have division matchups late in the year, and that happens every year, but it's like, it's always like the Texans or Jaguars, it seems like, for the Titans. I mean, look at the current state of things. The Titans and Colts should be playing December football games. They did, of course, play in the finale back in Vrabel's first season in 2018. It turned out to be a win and end game.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate that those two are so early.
David from Ashland City texting in says, let me get to David's whole text here. So we win the AFC South, we play a team at home, you pick them, and we lose, and you call that a successful season? The fans will certainly not call it a successful season. Losing a playoff game at home will definitely be considered a failure. I mean, I definitely hear that. I buy it to a certain degree. I get the point that I brought up was, what if you win your division, you're at home, and the team that you're playing in the first round is better than you are, which I think is a real possibility if the Titans win the division this year. Like, what if one of these AFC West teams, somebody's going to have to be the wild card in the AFC West. Probably multiple teams are going to have to be a wild card in the AFC West.
And or North.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and or North. Like, what if one of those teams is better than you are and you're playing them at home? Like, I know it's at home, but are you, like, is that a failure if you lose to a team that's better than you are? I don't know.
Yes, fail. Well, someone on the text line, and I've heard this, I don't agree with it, but basically, like, the successful season is winning the division. Playoffs should be considered separately. I don't look at it that way. You got to – it's all the season.
I think, right? With some teams, that's the case. Not with this one. Like, playoffs are a part of it.
Yeah. This, I mean, look, credit to a lot of people, in particular Ray Rob, with the fact that the Titans are, like, making the playoffs is now just old hat, and it's just a presumed – I mean, it may not be assumed outside Nashville, but it's assumed here, and it keeps happening. But that's what happens. You raise expectations when you have success over a certain period of time. They've been in the playoffs three straight years.
Yeah, if they make the playoffs this year, it'll be 5 out of 6.
Yeah. So – and they've had some success, but if you go a third straight year with a goose egg in the playoffs, to me that's hard to – apply the S word, and by that I mean success.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't mean
other things.
S show. It yes. would not be that if they win the division. But I feel like you gotta win a playoff game. And you're right. They may be playing a objectively better team than them that's just got caught in a crazy division and is coming in here, but
now there's also the chance that the Titans, you know, maybe they don't win the division, they make the playoffs, and they go on a little bit of a run. I mean, we saw them do that a couple of years ago. That's a success. So, you know, maybe winning the division, yes, to me is not the smartest thing that I've said. But I expect them to win the division. I still believe, and I think I'm probably, certainly league-wide, probably in the minority. I don't know if I'm in the minority around here or not. But I think they're better than the Colts. I just do. I think they're a better team than the Colts are. And until I see that proven otherwise, that's my thoughts on it. So I the AFC South is part of that discussion for me. And honestly, Joe, and it, you know, we talk about this every year with divisions on paper, and it rarely plays out the way you think it will. But there may only be one team in the AFC South that makes the playoffs this year. Like, you may have to win the division to get in the playoffs. I don't know how it's going to shake out. You know, somebody's going to get hurt somewhere along the line that totally derails one of these team seasons. Like, it happens every year. But the AFC West, AFC North, they got a chance to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, AFC,
intrigued. AFC East.
I am intrigued by the Dolphins. I certainly can't sit here and just count out the Patriots. I mean, everybody's going to pick the Bills to win that division going away, and they should. But those two teams could be interesting. I mean, it's insane to me. Like, how much better the AFC is? I did see these Sporting News power rankings that I mentioned. I think they did have, like, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Rams, like 3, 4, 5 or something like that. So that's high. And maybe, I mean, those three teams can, you know, can compete with, you know, like anybody in the top of the AFC. But then it's just so much more depth. Go through the AFC, go team after team after team. If you believe the Ravens are going to have a big turnaround, which I do, why are the Bengals going to fall off? Are the Browns not really dangerous now? I mean, I think they are, like it or not. Sexual predator at quarterback. They're going to win a lot of football games, I think. And then, yeah, the West, who knows? I don't know what the Broncos are going to be. They're one of those teams that I don't know what to expect, but it certainly could go well for them. They've had a pretty solid team other than quarterback. What if Russell Wilson is totally rejuvenated and it's a good defensive team? They got some good receivers.
He doesn't even have to be totally rejuvenated. Like, if he's what he's been the last couple of years, that's a clear upgrade of what they've had at that place.
Oh, yeah. But is that good enough? Like, to me, just because of this conference and that division, like, he's got to be – awfully good.
Agreed.
Maybe the Chargers are going to be paper tigers again. I don't know, but they have a good roster.
It kind of
on
feels
paper,
like
they
the
have
year.
A good roster. Yeah, this makes sense for this to be the year where they actually start to realize the potential. It's a loaded conference. So, yeah, I think the Titans are like a 10-7 kind of team. 10-7, 11-6, both sound stupid. Because you know, in your mind, it's a 10-6. You know what that is. What is 10-7? Yeah, but that's about what they are. And maybe you have to win the division to get in.
Well, it's going to be really interesting. And again, so much we can talk about success and how to define that right now. But so much of it really just comes down to one guy, and that's Tannehill. And we knew that from the moment the game ended last year against Cincinnati. That's what it was going to be. If they don't make the playoffs. And he's part of the reason that they struggle to not make the playoffs, then, you know, we're having a discussion about the quarterback position and where to go from here at the end of next year. We could still be having that discussion if it's one and done in the playoffs again. But, I mean, look, I'll throw this out to you. Let's say it plays out the way that you would define a successful season. They make the playoffs, win in the division or otherwise, and they win a playoff game, and they're out in the divisional round. Like, do you think the discussion around Tannehill is going to be all that different? I don't know.
It just depends on how he plays.
I'm legitimately asking. Like, I don't know.
If he has a similar regular season of last year, which was a step down from what he did in his previous two seasons, and if he doesn't play that well in the playoffs, then I think it'll be the same. But if he plays well all year, plays well in a win, and then they lose, and he's not completely responsible for the loss, he doesn't have a Bengals performance in the loss. I think the Titans will look at him as, yeah, he's the quarterback in 23, and I would think a lot of fans would come around. It's the same thing. Like, you don't have one of those top guys. But again, okay, so who are you getting? Because if you're just going to say, nah, move on, or all right, let's try Malik Willis next year or whatever, your chances of going backward at the position are way, way beyond your chances of improving. So everybody wants the Hall of Fame quarterback, but how are you going about getting the Hall of Fame quarterback? Who would be, like, after next year, what would be possible there?
Well, Brady's going to be a free agent after next year.
Okay. Well, if you can do that, if you can keep him from going to Miami and being player, owner, coach, whatever the heck he's going to be, then go for it. That's the thing, like Brady, the whole Brady thing. Yeah, there's Brady.
I mean, I'm
at some point
75% joking, but I mean,
at some point it's going to be like Thanos. Like, he's just going to turn to dust. He's going to drop back and completely just disappear. But who else is there? Like, you know, because the Aaron Rodgers thing was hot this year, and the Titans reportedly looked into it, as they should have.
Sure,
you got to look into these things.
Yeah, I don't know who's out there.
you have way better chance of going backward. Again, if Tannehill, like, has a good year, if he's going to go the wrong way with his performance, then it's an easy decision. You have to try something else.
Yeah. No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Stephen Holder from ESPN coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Deshaun Watson situation and zero in on the Colts as well. How are they looking so far in training camp? All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.